You've got the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my full-time job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast. Today we're chatting with Kendra Adachi. Kendra is the wife, mom, and baking superstar behind the Lazy Genius Collective. She used to run a blog called The Sugar Box, and she is a fellow podcaster at the Lazy Sisters Podcast and the Lazy Genius Podcast. Kendra is a creative genius when it comes to spending time on things that really matter, so we can't wait to share some of her lazy creative wisdom with you. So welcome to Chasing Creative, Kendra.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We are really excited to talk with you because Abby and I both adore your blog and your podcast. We're like, we're fangirls over here.
That's really, really nice.
Yeah, I'm not even a wife or a mom, and I'm still like, yes, let's be lazy about things, because there's only so many hours in the day, so.
Everyone needs to learn how to be lazier.
Yeah, we need to spend those hours watching Netflix, like, come on now.
Yep.
Yes, yes, we do.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the projects you've got going on and how you got started in all those?
Sure. I think my whole endeavor, creative endeavors have started because I don't like having a boss. I'm just one of those people who doesn't like to have to be under the control of someone else. And I kind of have the luxury of not having to work. I mean, my husband is a school counselor. It's not like we are rolling in the dough or anything. But we don't I don't have to contribute to our home at this point in order for us to survive. And so I feel really grateful and lucky in that I can kind of try things and see what sticks. So I started out actually, I was a cooking teacher. I was a self-taught cook and thought, okay, I want other people to be able to cook like normal people. Cause I would go to like these fancy cooking classes and we would make things that like you wouldn't even buy in a restaurant. Like they were so complicated and weird. And so I just thought, okay, I'm going to teach people how to cook like a normal person. And it was so fun. It was called My First Kitchen. And that's when I started to write. I've always enjoyed, I was an English major. I heard one of your, I forget who it was that you guys interviewed, but I heard one of your recent podcasts and, it's the English major way. I like to read and I like to write. So I guess I'll major in English.
Yeah. I think that was Leah and we all did it. All three of us.
Yep.
Yes, it was Leah. And so when I heard that, I just laughed so much because that is the truth. So I was an English major and I've always liked to read and write. And so I started to write with My First Kitchen and then I had a baby and couldn't quite figure out how to do both. And I found myself like, no joke, like resenting my son, like my 6-month-old son for not sleeping longer because I had work to do. So I was like, you know, I feel like this might be a little intense. Maybe it's time to stop. And so I did. I just stopped. It was going really well and I loved it, but I don't want to resent my children. So for not sleeping, like it's insanity. So I stopped that. And then I just couldn't get the writing jitters out any other way. It was like, I have to start writing again. And I couldn't really think of a way to do that until like a couple of years ago. And I started writing at the Sugar Box and baking sugar boxes for local people. But I thought, okay, if I could create my dream job right now, it's to write about cupcakes and Jude Law. So let's do that. So that's what I did. And it was great. I write about celebrities and dessert. But even though I don't have to make money right now, I need to eventually. I need to eventually contribute to our family. And I am fine going and getting a job at, you know, being an admin assistant or working at Williams Sonoma or something. Like, I'm totally great doing those things. But if I don't have to, I'm really trying to take advantage of this time now to see if I can like create my own thing. And I couldn't quite make that happen with the Sugar Box because it was so niche-y. You can't exactly create like a service or a product for someone that's like, what, how to watch TV? You know, it's like not really a thing. So
we all do it pretty well naturally on our own.
Right. No one needs training on how to watch television. So I kind of had to think like, all right, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to create my own thing, I need to have a new perspective. Abby, I feel like I heard you say, it might have been in that same podcast with Leah, something about how creativity is just connecting the dots in a different way than other people have before or something. And when you said that, I was like, boom, that is so true. Because that's kind of what I felt like with in starting Lazy Genius, is I just felt like everyone was seeing the dots the same way. The dots of like being a person, like just being a regular person, and especially being... being a woman and often being a mother. It was just like, I just heard a lot of people saying all the things they felt like they should be doing. And everyone was like racked in guilt and shame for not having this perfect life. And I was like, am I crazy? Like, why is everyone feeling this way? This is crazy because it's so not true. This is not where your value comes from. And, so I just thought, oh, I didn't think this is how I can connect the dots differently, specifically, because I had never heard that until you said it. But that's what happened. It's like, I feel like I need to help people connect the dots differently for their life. Mm-hmm. And people are trying to be a genius about stuff that does not matter. And yet they're not paying attention to the things that do. And so that's where the Lazy Genius came from. And that is my creative outlet. And I'm so grateful for it. I just, I'm sure you guys relate. It's like, I feel like everybody needs some sort of creative outlet. And I long so much for people who haven't found it yet to find it because it's so, so important. It's so valuable.
I definitely agree. I think I was really stuck in a rut before I started actually acting on my creativity a couple of years ago and just wasn't happy. And I was working at a job I did not like and all of those different kinds of things. And you come home and you do nothing to like fill up your bucket. And I think it's so important, like you said, to find that creative outlet that really just makes you come alive. I know another guest on the podcast, we haven't released it yet, but Lindsay Crandall says, like, she always wants to find that next thing that makes her heart sing. And that to me is just like perfect.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. Yeah.
Well, you've done a few cool things on the internet. Like you said, you did the sugar obsessed site, The Sugar Box, which I loved and was completely upset that I didn't live close enough to you to buy one of the Wizard of Oz sugar boxes. I was going to jump right on that one.
That was a really, really fun box. That was one of the most fun ones that I made. Yeah. One of the things that I miss about doing that is the from scratch aspect of those boxes. Not the cooking from scratch, but like dreaming up. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm going to do a box full of food inspired by The Wizard of Oz. How can I make this happen? And that was like, I mean, I can't even explain to you, like my fingers are kind of shaking out of excitement thinking about it. Like, it was just so fun because it was so ridiculous. And I had to, I don't think there are any original ideas. I think everybody just like, you just put your own spin on something that already happens. But this was like, I'm not saying like, this is an original idea, but this was like not something you could Google. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, how do you turn mm-hmm. Wizard of Oz into food? Like, it was harder to find. And so it kind of stretched my creativity a little bit. So I do miss that because it was like, it made my brain work in ways that it wouldn't normally. But I also don't miss having to buy 75 pounds of sugar at a time. So that's a thing. I do miss it a lot, but there, it was there for a season. And that's one thing I've learned in starting like these three separate sites and businesses, that, they kind of build on each other, mm-hmm. and your creativity really does, it just changes with your life. And it doesn't mean that my cooking classes failed. It doesn't mean that the sugar box failed. It doesn't mean anything failed. It just means that things change. And so, I really do hope that people remember, including myself, I have to remind myself of that. Remember that just because you have to move on from an idea you really love doesn't mean it didn't work. It just means things change. It was just there for a season, and that's okay.
Yeah. And that's something that we've talked about with some of our other guests too, is that like, just because you have to move on from something right now doesn't mean you can't go back to it again someday in the future. It just means that right now it's not the right season for it. So I think that's encouraging for people to hear too, that like, if you have to walk away from some creative project at the moment, it doesn't mean that you can't ever come back to it someday. It'll still be there waiting for you if the timing's ever right again.
And like you said, things just build on each other. Like, you probably never would have done the sugar box without having taught cooking classes before that. And you wouldn't know how to blog and market yourself if you hadn't done the sugar box for, you know, your project right now, The Lazy Genius. I think you just pick things up, and it sounds cliche, but all of your life experiences make you who you are.
They totally do. Thank you, Oprah.
Absolutely. So we also love The Lazy Genius. I think it's brilliant. Your tagline just made me fall in love. So it's be genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And like, to me, the things that don't matter are folding fitted sheets. Like, why are there tutorials on this?
There is
roll it
no
in a ball
reason.
And shove it in the closet.
Yes.
Amen. Preach it from the rooftops. Quit wasting your time on fitted folded sheets. It's so dumb.
I agree. So that is my life-changing tip for everyone out there, is don't spend your time folding fitted sheets. What do you have, a couple of like just life-changing tips that you've learned from being a wife and a mom and a woman in today's modern society that you just like, you people need to stop doing these things?
Not as good as balling up fitted sheets. Like, that is okay. Just, that's really life-changing. It really, like, legit, like, people need to stop folding those sheets. It's funny. I am such a systems tips hack person. Like, I love a good list of ways to change your life. And I also need to just say, I'm finding myself, I don't know if you or your sweet listeners can hear that I'm super out of breath. It's because I'm pregnant, and like, I'm just really hearing myself. I'm like, why can't I catch my breath? I'm just sitting on the floor. And I forget I'm pregnant. So I'm not like running a marathon or anything right now, because that would be insane. That's another thing you can be
you
lazy
have,
about.
Like, a tiny human.
I just have a tiny.
It's
like really complicated. Okay. So deep breath. Ready? Let's try again. I really do love. I love tips and stuff like that. It's just so fun. But one thing that I've learned is that tips can only go as far as how kind you are to yourself when you don't follow them. Does that make sense?
Good point. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I think we look at them to make ourselves better. And you can say, like, I want to make my life easier. And I don't think people are lying when they say that. I say that. I want to make my life easier. I want to have more time to, like, do things that I like. But I feel like I can get in the trap sometimes of making a tip like my savior. And so, like, to make me a better person, when that's not really what's going to happen. And so, the two things that I would say, and really they're just kind of saying them to myself, are to be kind to yourself. as kind of silly and sentimental as that sounds. I just feel like one of the ways that we are trying to be, geniuses about things that don't matter is we put all of these self-imposed pressures on ourselves to be a certain way, and for our house to look a certain way, for our own bodies to look a certain way, for our friendships. Like, I don't have friends we go on vacation with. Like, I see families who like vacation together as families, and I'm like, are we terrible people? Like, are we doing something wrong? because we don't have anyone to go on vacation with. Like, I don't know what's going on. My husband and I don't go on date nights. Like, there's so many things that we just don't do that a lot of people do. And I would beat myself up about it for such a long time. And now, like, one of the greatest gifts I can give myself is just to be nice to myself, like just to treat myself as kindly as I do my best friend. Cause I'm not gonna like get on her about like, well, you haven't had a date night in like 3 months. Is your marriage okay? Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's not how you are with people.
Totally do it to ourselves.
We totally do it to ourselves. And it just breaks my heart for myself and for other people. So that is one of the biggest lazy genius tips, is just to be kind to yourself. And then the other one is to not overthink it. We just are good overthinkers. I am such an analytical person. It's disturbing. And so I have to like stop myself from measuring everything, from like keeping track of the minutiae of everything that I do all the time, and trying to like, I'm really good at creating systems around things, and that can be super helpful, but it can also make me a crazy person. And so I just need to stop like overthinking things. I just think other people need to just stop overthinking it. Just live your life, trust yourself, be kind to yourself, and just be a person in that moment. Being a person is hard, but I think we make it harder than it is because we're so hard on ourselves and we think about it so much. So be kind. Don't overthink it.
Yeah. And that's a good tip for anybody, because you said you're really analytical, and I think you are too, Abby.
Yes, I, on the Myers-Briggs scale, I'm an INTJ.
We're
like
super close.
2% of the population, but only like 0.8% of women are INTJs. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So whenever I find like another female INTJ, I'm like, yes, you are my people.
Totally.
So, but yeah, completely. I mean, think every problem to death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's so funny because I'm like the opposite. I'm like, I'm an INFP. So I'm like the least analytical you can possibly get, because I just want to spend my day like looking out the window and daydreaming, and I don't want to measure things or think about statistics. And I still overthink things, but I overthink it in the sense of like worrying that you're not doing enough, or like dreaming up those what if scenarios. So I think everybody has their own personal method for thinking too hard about things that don't matter.
Yeah. Or they're beating themselves up for like not thinking hard enough about things. So right? I don't know.
You can't win. Like no one can win. No. It's terrible.
Okay. Going in a direction that is completely not analytical at all. How about that? Your site, The Lazy Genius Collective, also tells readers to, you know, choose to be a maker in your home and soul. And obviously this podcast is called Chasing Creative. We are makers. We're obsessed with making things. It's why we made a podcast. How did you choose to be a maker, even when you were like too busy to be? I mean, I'm sure there are many, many days when you have 2 children and are expecting number 3 that you just don't have time to be a maker. So what did you really, I guess, mean by that little tagline, and what are you hoping to help women do?
Hmm. That's a great question. I know that for a long time, I saw makers and artists as people who used paint or, you know, a violin bow or whatever. And I had like a moment of this great swell of pride, because I heard you guys talking about Emily Freeman's book, A Million Little Ways, on one of your episodes. And she's like my real friend. Like, I love her. Like, she's my people. And so when I heard y'all talking about her, I was like, yeah, dog, Emily Freeman's book. Like, I was a dork. But like, I've read her book so many times. Like, I love that book. And it really, it impacted me a lot, because for a long time, I'm going to say something a little controversial. Ready?
Okay, so
what you were saying before about someone said that they want to do the next thing that makes their heart sing, mm-hmm. or that makes them come alive. And being a mother is not always one of those things for me. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay if you are a mother and you love your children, you would die for your children immediately, but it doesn't necessarily always bring great life. Sometimes it's just really tiring and you feel like a terrible person at the end of the day feeling that way. And that's how I was. I was like, oh my word, I'm just so drained. I just want to like try to make things and I want to just be this creative person. And I don't get any of that from being a mother and I don't know what to do. And then, you know, luckily I'm friends with someone like Emily Freeman and she wrote a book about it. And it's so great because it's like, you know what? I can be fully myself and a fully creative version of myself and be a mom at the same time. I can be with my kids. And I can like just want to punch a hole in the wall because I have to play Candyland for the 13th time with my 4-year-old who cries if he loses every single time. But just, I can think, you know what? Like, this is art. Like, I don't have anything to show for it in that way. But right now, being with him and being present with him, even though I don't really want to be playing Candyland again, is art, is its own version of art because I'm creating a relationship. And so, so that book really changed how I saw being a maker. Now, specifically about like stuff, like create like projects and creating things in the way that you think. I really never gave myself permission, I think, to be bad at things. I'm the person who doesn't try anything new. If I think I'm not going to be the best, I won't do it. Like, period. Which is such a fun way to live. No, it's not. I remember this had always stuck with me when I was like 6 years old. I mean, I was a little tiny person. I took an art class like you do, you know, at like the local place or whatever. I remember legit like it was yesterday. I was sitting in this room at this little desk with this little blue plastic chair and we were learning how to draw with charcoal and I was drawing a lamp and I was learning how to shadow the lamp. Or to make shadows or whatever. And the teacher, and I was like, really, I'm like, I think I can do this. Like, this is super fun. I was having so much fun. And the teacher came over to me. Okay. Remember, I was 6 years old. The teacher came over to me and she said, honey, I think maybe you should explore something else. That's not art.
Oh, no.
And I know. Like, how dare she, right?
This is so sad.
Oh, I know, it was so sad. And as a six-year-old, like I internalized that and I always told myself, well, I'm not an artist. I'm not going to be able to make any, like, this is just not my gifting. And so I am ridiculously unathletic. And so if you can't be creative and you can't kick a ball, then like, I guess you have to be smart. Like that's all that's left, I suppose. You have to be the smart girl. And so I was like, all right, I'll be the smart girl. Like I'll get good grades and I'll write and I'll read and follow the rules and do the things. And a lot of the emptiness I felt for most of my life was from all of that trying. But I also think so much of it was because I didn't let myself create, because I didn't think I could, because I was told I couldn't, and then thought, well, I guess she was right. So I'm just going to keep doing this. So the turning point I think happened, it was before my second kid was born. So this was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. And it was right before he was actually going to be born. Cause I thought, well, if I don't do this now, like, oh my word, I'm about to have a baby and life will end, which it doesn't, but it felt like it at the time. And so, I decided to take a watercolor class, like just because I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick it to that woman who told me that I couldn't do this. And even if I'm terrible, it's okay. Like, it's okay for me to be terrible. I'm still pretty terrible. Like I took the class. I was like a drawing and watercolor thing. And like once out of every, this is not an exaggeration. It's like once out of every 60 things that I try to draw or paint turned into something that's like not terrible. Everything else just is, it's ridiculous. You're like, really, Kendra? Like, this is what you came up with. It's just not a natural gifting, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to try. And so that was like a really big thing for me. I thought, you can make things, you can create, you can choose to be a maker. And part of that is being okay with it sucking. Like, it might be terrible, but that's not the point. For me, that's not the point of being a maker. What it does is it just works a different, practically, it works a different part of your brain. It engages a different part of your soul. But it reminds us that, like, I believe we're all put on this earth to create and to be artists. And it just looks different. It just looks different for everyone. And if you don't give yourself permission to try, you're not going to find your way. And that's sad. That's a sad thing to think about. So thank you to that teacher, that art teacher when I was six. Kind of, thank you. But it really did teach me, you know, like I let her and what she said have control over 25 years of my life. And that was a stupid decision. So it's like, you know, it's good to just learn that you can do things without doing them perfectly. And no one's gonna die. Like, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, I love that the definition of art isn't, like you said, just drawing and painting anymore. I mean, well, it never has been. We kind of made it into that. But that you can approach just life in general as art. You can cook dinner like it's an art form, or you can fold that laundry
Totally.
like it's an art form. I mean, all of those different things.
But not the fitted
But
sheet.
not the fitted
Can't fold
sheet.
the fitted sheet like it's
Don't waste your art on fitted sheets.
Well done, Ashley. Good joke. Well
Yeah. Yeah.
done.
Thanks.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I mean, getting real, you're the mother of two children. You have one on the way. How do you make blogging and creativity happen? You say you're not a tip person. You don't really like, doling out tips, but practically, how do you make it work for you?
Right. Practically. Absolutely. One thing that is super practical, that feels a little selfish, I think, in the beginning. I'm different from you guys in that I actually don't work during the day. I don't have a day job, but I do have 2.5 children. And so
Yes.
there's still a lot of things to do. And so it, you know, it feels like a job. And but both of my boys are out of the house 2 mornings a week. My oldest started kindergarten this year, so he's obviously gone like all week. And then my second is in preschool 2 mornings a week. And I started to feel like when my friends found out, like, oh, you're gonna have mornings now, and like we can have coffee and we can go for a walk and things that I didn't really get to do before, like to have a conversation with a grown up without like a kid there. And I remember talking to Emily Freeman about it and kind of stressing, like, this is the time I feel like I'm given, but I feel really guilty, like telling people no, like telling my friends no, like I can't get together with you these 2 mornings. And she said, you don't need to feel guilty. That's your work time. Like, that's when you choose to work, and that's okay. And so she said, this was her tip. She said, don't do anything during the time that they're gone that you could do when they're around. So it was like, don't unload the dishwasher, don't do the laundry, don't do anything that you could do when they could be around. Like, even going for a walk, like I can put my kids in a stroller, like it's cool. I cannot write when they're there. I can't do it. And so that's one thing, is that on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8:30 to 12:30, I'm in front of my computer. And a lot of times that's the only time during the week that I am in front of my computer. And so I kind of have to be disciplined about that. And I don't feel guilty about that anymore, because it's been such a game changer. Because it's like, this is the time I'm choosing. And this matters. It's okay that this matters. I'm going to give myself permission to believe that this matters. And so that's what I spend. And so I think that, you know, it's so different for everyone. Like, you know, I think about, okay, so Ashley, you have a daughter, is that right?
Yeah, I have a 18-month-old daughter, Hadley, and then I
and
work
you...
pretty much just during her nap times, like exactly like what you just said. Like, I don't do anything
Yeah.
during her naps that I could do while she's awake because I need that time to work.
Exactly. And it's hard. And I think about, and there are tons of people who want to write and want to, who want to create, who want to make things. And they actually work like regular 9-to-5 jobs. And then they come home and there are people to feed and to clean and all the things. And then it's like 9 o'clock at night and you're so tired. And like, who wants to sit down and try to make something at 9 except for like a bowl of ice cream?
That's
like, that's all anyone needs to
Yes.
make at 9 o'clock at night. And so, so I feel really lucky that I have free daytime hours, 'cause I know not everyone does. But I will say that, I'll speak to the stay at home moms that there is time and, it's okay for you to claim it for yourself. It's okay for you to not spend nap time, making your baby homemade organic baby food. Like, maybe the switch off is that you buy baby food and you work. You create and you make when your baby's asleep, and that's okay. That's totally okay. So, so that's one thing, that I do. And then another thing is, I think sometimes when we maybe have a specific time of day or time, you know, a set time that we're going to create, sometimes I find myself moving into that space almost like, almost dreading it. It's that whole, like, I'm going to write no matter what, even though I don't feel like writing, I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to write. It could just be my personality. I don't write well when I'm in that mindset. If I start with like, okay, this is when I'm supposed to write, therefore write. It doesn't really work for me. It may work for some other people. It doesn't really work for me. And so one thing that, has helped, that is relevant to everyone, I hope, is that rather than maybe approaching your specific creating time, whatever it is that you're going to do, when you move into that time of being a maker, rather than like freaking out and like panicking, this is my only time to be a maker. Like, what if nothing happens? We kind of like psych ourselves out. I think the thing to do is to instead move into that time being like, this is a gift. And I haven't been able to make in 3 days. And I'm just going to trust that it's coming. And it's like you're, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to value this enough because I value the ideas that haven't come out yet. I value them enough that I'm going to value this free time and not freak out about it. I'm not going to shame myself if nothing comes out the other end. It's just, this is the gift. This is the time that I'm giving myself to make. And even if the end result of that specific time is you just being kind to yourself and being like, yeah, maybe I didn't really write anything. I didn't really paint anything. I didn't really, you know, create this. I didn't really move forward in this project, but you know what? I value myself enough to give my time to do it. And to me, I feel like that's enough sometimes. It's like, it's just the tiniest mental shift. Move into it, seeing it as a gift rather than seeing it as like, this is the last time I can do anything for a week, or like that panic. Like, have you ever felt that way when you're moving into your own time and you just panic? Mm-hmm. Like, I better have something to show for it at the end
Yes.
of this, or it's all for
it
naught.
It feels almost,
you know,
like a burden. Yeah. Like,
right.
All of a sudden,
that's the
there's
perfect
all this
word.
Pressure. And, you know, sometimes even I just make myself like, no, I'm going to read for a half an hour before I try and do anything. And like,
Amen.
I have to fight the feeling that that half hour is wasted. But it's like, no, you know what? Like, that's part of the creative process. Like, you consume other people's words and then you write your own. Sometimes that's how it works.
Totally.
And that's totally okay. And I just really love your perspective on this whole thing as a mom, because something that I haven't shared yet here on the podcast. So here's my little announcement. I am expecting baby number 2 in August.
Out of town.
So,
yeah. That's so fun. Congratulations. Oh my gosh. That's so fun.
So, like, on the one hand, I am excited. And on the other hand, I'm like,
terrified.
I feel like
right.
it took me It took me a whole year to get my schedule figured out with this first kid
Yeah.
because she spent the first year not sleeping through the night, so I was always tired and also not taking good naps. It was like she was 12 months old before I felt like I knew when I was going to have time to do anything. And I was still doing client work in there. I don't even know how, but I was doing it. And it was like a year of survival mode. And now I'm just starting to feel like I'm getting back to myself and I'm going back into that year of survival mode again. And I
Yeah.
mean, every baby's different and, you know, whatever, their personalities are different. It might be better this time, but it could be worse. You never know.
Right.
So you've talked about that a little bit in a piece that you wrote on the site called For Every Mom. And you talked a little bit about that feeling of like your kids hit a certain age and you start to feel like yourself again. And now you're having your third baby and you've got that feeling of like, I'm going to disappear. I'm going to lose myself again. And I would just love to hear how you deal with that feeling. And like, as you're looking toward this baby that's coming pretty soon, are you planning on like setting aside any creative stuff and moving into a slower season to sort of balance that out? Or do you look at creativity as a way to kind of hold on to that part of yourself that otherwise you lose when you're a new mom?
First, I'm so proud of you. It sounds like I'm your grandmother, but I'm so proud of you for being honest about that because honestly, I think that is one of the most crippling parts about feeling like you're losing yourself is that you don't say it out loud. And it becomes like your own personal burden to carry. And that whether it has anything to do with kids, people can experience that in lots of different ways, but it does have a unique sort of spin when you're dealing with like humans that you have to keep alive. Like it's not like you can take a break, so it's sort of a different thing.
Yeah, I'm just not going to feed you guys today.
So I
Sorry,
just
not on my agenda.
it's not happening. Fend for yourselves, 2-year-old. So yeah, at the sake of sounding like super cheesy, I really am proud of you for saying that because it's such a huge part of it is just admitting it and being willing to be real about that. It's just yeah, I'm 7 months pregnant. We were done. Like I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and basically when the 4-year-old exited my body, I was like, oh, he's so beautiful, I love him so much, I'm never doing that again. Like we're done. And it wasn't just the labor thing. It just felt like, no, we're done. Like we're done. Man to man defense. I'm not a zone parent. It's like, I can do this when it's like 2-on-2. It's cool. And then we get pregnant. So it's like, okay, what's gonna happen here? And it's a girl. Girls are terrifying. So it's just
Yeah,
all the things.
we are terrifying.
But to your point of your very, very valid, wonderful point of losing, feeling like you're losing yourself. I think everyone is different. But for me, being creative is such an integral part of me being a mom. If I can tell when I go too long without making something. And it really is kind of like you're in the trenches when you've got little tiny ones, like, and more than one. It's like, it is. It just feels like I'm never going to get out of here. I'm never going to make it out of here. And I just want to tell you, like, you will, even though you don't believe it. Like, I did. I just happened to be adding another one, which is still kind of really scary. And that's one of the scariest parts about it is because I felt like I would never get to the other side of like being able to feel like a person and having more than 15 minutes at a time. My first was the same as your first. He was still waking up 5 and 6 times at night when he was 16 months old. And I was like, this is not how life is supposed to be. Like it just
Yeah,
felt
like
so hopeless. He wouldn't nap. Like I totally understand that. It feels hopeless. It feels like it's never ending. And so I can totally relate to that. And the fear of kind of adding another human person to that is just, it can be really terrifying. But I think in the same way, like my two tips before of be kind to yourself, and don't overthink it. And then also that last thing about giving yourself permission to value what matters to you. Yes, sometimes you want to write or to take a picture or whatever it might be, and your baby needs to eat. And you have to choose to feed the baby. Like, there isn't a choice. Like, sometimes there's not a choice. You have to feed the baby. But what you can do is, what I do is I tell myself, like, you know what? I'm just grateful that I had an idea. I'm grateful that I had the desire to make in the first place. You know, like, it's almost like this little talisman sometimes, where you feel like you're losing yourself. And then all of a sudden you get this idea, or you get this reminder that, like, oh no, I am a person, outside of being a mom. Like, I can have all of these things simultaneously. You might not be able to act on them as quickly or as often as you used to be able to, but the fact that they're still there, the fact that they still exist, is like a lifeline. Because it's really hard, and I would be lying if I said it wasn't hard. Like, oh, you'll find time. Like, it's cool. That's probably not true. Mm-hmm. Like, that's for most people, I feel like that's not true, unless you have like a nanny, or you have like all, you know, things that, that you trade out in order to have time for yourself. But a lot of like, quote unquote, regular people can't always do those kinds of things. And so my encouragement would be to, like, okay, this is going to feel kind of like survival mode. And there are days where I'm going to feel like I don't recognize myself. So when those moments come up that you're like, oh, there's a glimmer of not just who I was before, but who you are because of going through what you did with your daughter, because of what you're going to go through with having two, because of whatever it is in your circumstances, those things make you more of who you are. And so when you see those kind of spring up from like the muck of survival, it really is a beautiful gift. It's just a perspective shift, like, to see it. This is a gift. It's still there. It didn't die. It's not going to die. It's going to be okay. And then when you get that magical nap, that one nap where they're like still asleep an hour later, it's kind of like, one thing I used to do is I would be afraid to start something during a nap time because he's going to wake up in 15 minutes. What's the point?
Yeah.
And then if he didn't, then if he slept for 3 hours, I just kept waiting for him to wake up. I would just sit there for 3 hours and like wait for him to wake up and just kind of waste all the time. And so it's kind of like, I feel like when you, especially when you have more than one, it's kind of like, okay, you know what? I'm going to move into this as the most optimistic person ever. Everybody's going to sleep. It's going to be awesome. But then sort of prepare yourself on the other side. If they wake up in 20 minutes, it's not their fault. You don't need to be mad at them. It's okay to be frustrated with just the way life is, but kind of go into it like, I'm going to make for as long as I can. And if they wake up sooner than I would hope, that's okay. If they sleep longer than I hope, that's amazing, but it's going to be okay either way. It's being gentle with yourself and with your people that life is hard and being a person is hard, and everybody, no one is exempt. No one is exempt from trying to find a way. This is why we talk about this kind of thing, because no one has figured out how to have a full life of like family and jobs and all these things and still make and it be easy. If it were easy, we would not be having these conversations. So, yes. So anyway, I feel like I just said a whole lot of words, but ultimately, like, being honest about it, like you did, I'm going to say it again. I'm really proud of you for saying that out loud, because being honest about not necessarily always being excited about a baby is not allowed. Like, that's not something people are allowed to say out loud. And, but so many more people feel that way than we think. And it just gives, you're kind of a freedom fighter for moms who are nervous. And that's a beautiful thing that you can be like, all right, we can do this. It's okay if we're not like super stoked about 100% of this, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. So bravo.
Yeah, that was like the most encouraging response that you could have possibly given to that question. Like, I feel like there's going to be future moms like listening to this episode for, I don't know, months to come. Years sounds presumptuous, but months to come, people are going to be listening to this and they're going to be like, yeah.
They'll be fist pumping so their minivan going down the highway, guys.
Come on. I hope so.
Well, it's just something nobody talks about. And it's just like everybody shares their cute baby pictures on Facebook, but nobody ever posts anything about how they feel like really inhuman some days. Like, I don't know. I just think it's a good conversation to have. So thank you for going out on a limb with me there and talking about that.
I mean, that was so deep and introspective. And now we're going to talk about television.
We can make television introspective.
I'm totally okay.
Absolutely.
With going somewhere lighthearted as we wrap things up.
Awesome. Okay. Well, it's no secret that you, Kendra, and your sister Hannah are big fans of television. I have loved listening to the Lazy Sisters podcast because it's just like this ridiculous fun way to spend driving to work, because I have to drive to work every day and some days it's miserable. And so it's been so much fun just like geeking out about, you know, television shows and things virtually with you and your sister. So as creatives, we're all pressed for time. We all are trying to make space for our creativity, but sometimes we just need to sit on the couch and veg out and watch like 6 episodes of something completely mindless or really sappy or anything that just like breaks you out of
your
rut.
I'm nodding so hard right now.
So how do you, I can see that. So how do you just keep yourself from being like, oh, I wasted that time?
Right. That is the thing we say, isn't it? That like, if you do anything that does not have a technical result, then it was a waste. And that is such an anti-lazy genius way of thinking. So I'm like trying to like make that my manifesto. You can live a life that doesn't necessarily have constant production and it be full and not at all wasteful. But about Netflix specifically, or just like however people like to veg, I am, again, this is kind of my own personal way of seeing it, but I think our need to kind of be actively creative, I think it's a felt need, okay? So like a lot of people say that, and legitimately so, like I think a lot of people feel this way, but they'll say something like, I didn't really feel like writing, but I knew if I sat down and started writing, I would feel better. Or you hear that a lot about exercise, which is something I don't do. So I don't really know if that's true or not, but you hear that a lot. Like, I don't want to do it, but I know it's good for me. And so I will. And I think that's really valuable. I think discipline is a beautiful thing. I think that putting a drop in the bucket every day, well, you'll eventually have a full bucket. You know, I think it's super valid. But in terms of my personal creativity, most of the time, if I have some free time, and generally my choices are, okay, do I work, quote unquote work? So do I write or brainstorm a new idea for something or, you know, some lazy genius thing? Or do I catch up on Vikings? If I want to work, I trust that desire to work and I'll do it. If I really just want to watch Vikings, I'm going to trust that desire to watch Vikings and I'm going to do it. Certainly there are times when we use TV and free time, quote unquote, wasteful free time as a crutch because we're afraid of the work that we need to do. We're afraid of the message we feel like we need to share. We're afraid that it's going to fall on deaf ears. We're afraid that no one's going to think it's good. We're, you know, like, it's that whole lizard brain thing. And I think the more you create, I think the more muscle memory you get to fight the lizard brain and to recognize when your desire to watch TV is just because you like TV versus trying to escape creating when that's really deep down what it is you want to do. Now that's different if you're like, if you're writing a book and you have like a deadline to turn in your manuscript, like, yeah, you kind of have to sit down and like do the thing. But just kind of for like a regular person on a regular day, I have lived such a disciplined life, such a rule following life, that at this point, if I kind of put arbitrary discipline on myself, I revert back to old patterns really fast, and start to become a slave to them way too quickly than I'm comfortable for. And so personally, I really try to not put a whole lot of discipline into my creativity, and trust instead that when I feel the desire to make, I'm going to value it and I'm going to try and make it happen as quickly as possible. And if I have free time where I could be making and I just don't really want to, that's okay too.
That is a really great perspective. I know, being a wife, but not a mom. So my husband and I do not have children. And a lot of the times we'll be like, hey, what do you want to do tonight? I don't have anything going on. Let's watch Netflix. And sometimes, like, if you feel guilty about sitting down to watch TV when you have like a billion things on your, you know, quote unquote creativity to-do list, like, then maybe you shouldn't be watching TV. But for me, a lot of the times, like, that is the way that we sit down and decompress together at the end of a day, or we haven't been spending time together and that's what we want to do together. Totally. Like, I think that, like you said, give yourself permission to just kind of fill up your bucket. I like that. And just, you know, like you said, Ashley, give yourself permission to read for 30 minutes, because sometimes you need to consume in order to create later at a better pace or a better level, or all of those kinds of things.
It's another way of being kind to yourself. And you know you better than anyone else knows you. And so you kind of know when you're kind of putting BS up in front of yourself. You know, it's like, I'm saying that I just need to relax, but really it's because I'm afraid to write this thing that I really know I need to write, or whatever it is. Or equally, that you just know, like, okay, just because I want to watch TV right now doesn't mean that I'm not being disciplined, or I'm being a failure. It's just, you know yourself, and you need to be kind to yourself in whatever that moment is. And it all is bucket filling. It just might not all have a product at the end of it. And that's okay.
Yes. End products are overrated. Maybe not overrated, but they're not the sole point of creativity. And that's good to remember.
Not the sole point. Yeah, totally.
I agree. So, speaking of delightful creative distractions, if you still got like 10 minutes for us, Kendra, let's talk mini book club. So at the end of every episode, we talk about books because it's the thing we love maybe more than television, even. I don't know if we're allowed to say that aloud.
You're allowed to say that out loud.
Okay. I was going to say, as you know, proud English degree holders, we should love books an inordinate amount.
Yes.
So what have you been reading lately that you've absolutely loved and have to share with the world? Or not even lately. If all your books have been duds, you can share anything.
Well, I haven't read any duds. My last two fiction books that I read, well, one's memoir. I read Wild by Cheryl Strayed, and finished that a few days ago. And then I read All the Light We Cannot See, which everyone is, you know, super into right now.
It's amazing.
And it was so great. It was so beautiful. It's funny. I don't know if you guys felt this way, but like after I graduated from college and read like all this literature for so many years, it was like things like Hunger Games and Divergent and like all these young adult, just amazing
brain candy.
So such brain candy. I read brain candy for so many years. It's still like, and so it's funny when I read kind of a book that's written so beautifully, like All the Light We Cannot See. Like it is a beautiful, beautiful work of fiction, and just great writing. And a lot of times I'm like, flowery writing, I don't have time for that. Let's get moving. And so it's fun when I come across a book that is not brain candy, that still is so, so beautiful. So I really, really love that. And Wild was like one of those books that, made, you know, like everyone says, like, you finish it and it makes you want to go hike. I don't do things like that. Like, I don't like to camp. I like to walk, but like not for 3 months. Like that's insane. I don't like animal, like I don't like snakes, nature. And it's, you know, I like Netflix and cookies. I'm going to stay in my house. So, but that's the thing that was so amazing to me about that book. Like what a good storyteller she was, because I was like, Cheryl, I'm coming with you. Like I was so moved to go.
So Cheryl Strayed convinced you to hike.
Oh my gosh. And then
or at least think about it.
Yeah, like, or to seriously, seriously think about it. So much so that I had to tell myself, like, almost slap myself, like, Kendra, you're not hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. You're going to go make macaroni and cheese for your family right now. You've got to chill out. So, but I was, that's one thing about that book that, I mean, it's a great book. It's written really well. But that's one thing that kind of blew me away is that, like, she was kind of a magician because she made me want to go hiking and camping. That's the sign of a good storyteller. Let's see, my favorite, I went on a bit of an Amazon tear this past weekend and I bought five new kind of like creativity businessy books. Mm-hmm. One thing that I realized, just this weekend actually is that, I'm kind of in a state of limbo right now with, you know, up to 2 months for my baby. We are adding onto our house because we weren't planning on having a baby. And so we need a place to put her. And even with the Lazy Genius, like you asked before, which I didn't answer, if I was going to like take time off or, you know, slow down or whatever. And I don't know. I just don't know. But it does feel kind of scary to start anything huge and new right now, because I don't know what life's going to look like in 2 months. I just don't know. So I decided that this time for me is kind of like study time. A lot of times I say, oh, I would love to read that new Seth Godin book, or I'd love to whatever. But I just don't always make time for it. And so now I'm like, okay, I'm going to make time for this right now. I can read. I have time to read. I can read when the baby's here, you know, like that's something that you can actually do when you have a baby around. And so I bought these books and I don't know if they're good, but I can't wait to read them. I'm so excited about it. Just to get some new perspectives on things. And, I ordered, I don't know if you guys have read any of these. I got Ignore Everybody, by Hugh MacLeod. I don't know how to say these people's names. I got to Ignore Everybody. A book called Deep Work, which I love that title. Like there's something about mm-hmm. that. Like, oh man, you get to like, what does deep work mean for you? I just love that. I got Amy Cuddy's book called Presence, which is like, she's the one who did that, TED talk on body language or like, okay. Like the power poses and stuff. I am not a power pose person. But I'm really intrigued. I'm just really intrigued by the whole thing that like how you handle yourself physically. The tagline for that is something like, something about your boldest self. It's like bringing your boldest self into your biggest challenges or something like that. I don't remember exactly. And there were two others. I can't remember their names, but that's fine. So yeah, I'm about to go on like a creativity book tear, and I'm so stoked about it.
That is awesome. It's a sign of a good book nerd is someone who is excited to read a huge stack of books.
Let me ask you a question. How do y'all feel about book jackets?
Like the dust jackets?
Yes, the dust jackets on your books. How do you feel about them?
I used to always leave them on, but now my toddler really enjoys taking them off and like ripping them up if she can get to them. So I tend to read books without them and then like put the cover back on when I shelve them and she can't get to them anymore.
Got it. That's very smart and very disciplined.
Okay. I always leave every dust jacket on the book 100% of the time.
Tell me why.
Always. It belongs on the book. Where else are you going to like, what else is it going to do? Just like lay lonely on the shelf? I don't know. My husband's the opposite though. He takes them off. He puts them back on the shelf and then puts them back on the book when he's done reading it. So,
okay. You guys
are a house divided.
You might hang up on me. I take them
off.
Do you
throw them away?
I throw them off.
Oh my gosh. But the cover art is so pretty.
No, this is true. Like, there are a lot of them.
Do you do that
to
your Harry Potters?
Beautiful. No. Now, here's okay. I'm not, real talk. I only have paperback. I'm not a monster. No, I don't do it on all of them. But a lot of books, I'm like, I don't know. I just have this thing with book jackets. I think it's, we don't have to talk about it. I'm sorry I brought it up. No, I'm fine. Sorry that I drove this wedge between us. So sorry. But no, if the cover art is beautiful, I'll leave it on. But I can't read a book with it on. I can't do it. It gets all like wonky in the folding and like it doesn't lay flat anymore. I don't know. I have a weird thing about them. It's fine. We can move on. I can tell you about my favorite books and maybe we have some.
Okay. Tell us about your favorite books that you have not desecrated. How's that?
Okay. Yeah. I have desecrated them. It's so fun. So much shame. Okay. So my favorite book of all time, fiction book, is Till We Have Faces by C.S. Lewis.
That's so good. It's
one of his, I love when people have read it. Oh my word. Because it's one of his lesser known books. You know, everyone's read Narnia and then like a lot of the nonfiction. But it's so good. Like, it's so good. It's written so beautifully. The characters are so rich. Because it's like Greek myth, it's so epic. But it's like so human at the same time. I don't know. It's just, oh my word, that book, Be Still My Heart. So Till We Have Faces is my favorite fiction book of all time. I love Harry, of course. Yes. I love, oh.
First name basis. Come on.
Totally. Yes. We're like BFs. Have you read The Night Circus? We have a similar favorite.
The Night Circus is one of the best books.
Oh my gosh. I love The Night Circus so much.
I recommend it to everybody. Like, even if they don't like fantasy. I was like, you will like The Night Circus. Just read
That's
it.
That's what I tell people just too.
It's magical.
I tell that to people who don't have the same taste in books at all. I'm like, no, read it. Like, I don't care what kind of books you like, read it.
Yep.
I've met one person in my entire life who didn't like it. And I think she just was having a bad day. Like, I just don't think. I choose to not believe it. I know. I choose to not believe it. But no, I just adore that book so much. And then another favorite. And then I love like all the Austin Bronte, that whole situation. Like, I'm never sad reading one of those. But another series, which is a little less familiar, which maybe you guys would want to try, is The Wing Feather Saga by Andrew Peterson. He is a singer, songwriter. He's been my favorite for like, oh my gosh, like 15 years or something. And one of the reasons I love him is because he was a singer, songwriter, and he is such a maker. Because he wrote this series of fiction books. He started this online community of writers and singers and poets and like all these things. Like he just creates in a way that a lot of people don't. I don't see a lot of people creating, which makes me happy. But the Wing Feather Saga is four books. They're written for kids. And it's kind of it's a fantasy kind of situation in the vein of like, of Harry and a little bit Lord of the Rings. It's reminiscent of a lot of those kinds of books, but it's its own unique thing. I will say that the first book is a little slow. And I think that's because he's never written fiction before. I think, you kind of got to find
a legitimate cop out. Yeah,
totally. So it's like, he's never done this before. So we'll give him a break. But then the second, third, the fourth book in that series is like my second favorite book of all time. Just the book itself. It's like, oh my, it's just amazing. So that's a really fun one. If you're looking for something new that fits that genre. So yeah. So those are my, like a lot of my favorite fiction. And then nonfiction, I already talked about Million Little Ways. Anything by Emily just makes me happy. Another book that you guys might want to consider is a book called Thinker Toys. Have you heard of the book Thinker Toys?
Okay, I've heard of Tinker Toys, but I'm guessing that's not the same thing.
Well, the book Thinker Toys, so TH, Thinker Toys, is basically, it's like a handbook of ways to jog your creativity if you're stuck.
That's awesome.
So they're all these different, it's so cool. They're like all these different little exercises that you can do and you can apply them to anything. I think the book was written for like
boring businessmen who needed to come up with ideas to take to a sales meeting. But doggone it, if they don't really work well for people who have ideas already. So it's been a really cool resource when I just need a fresh look at things, when I need to just kind of engage my brain a little bit differently. And another failed watercolor painting is not going to do it this time. Then I'll pull out ThinkerToys and just choose one of the exercises. And again, even if nothing comes of it, it's just good practice to kind of, you know, work your brain in a different way. So that's a really fun, like, reference book to have, I think, on your shelf, for anybody who likes to kind of come up with ideas.
Yeah, I really like that idea a lot. I don't know, Ashley, have you been reading anything really cool lately?
Lately, I have been on a young adult series binge. So I read Divergent, you know, back in December, and then I read like a Sarah Destin book, and then I started, what other book did I read in there? I read The Scorpio Races in there, and then I just finished the Grisha trilogy. And that was really good. So now that I wrapped that up, I was like, you know what? I could use some nonfiction in my life. So I am starting three nonfiction books. One of them is Out of Sorts by Sarah Bessie, which I'm not very far in so far. I've read like the introduction, which was good. A solid introduction.
Good start.
I've heard really good things about that book. Yeah.
But I'm also reading A Prayer Journal by Flannery O'Connor, which is a really thin little book, and I'm reading it just because I love Flannery and everything she does. And then the last one is called Overwhelmed by Bridget Schulte or Schult, something like that. I'm not sure how you say your name, but that book's pretty good. It's an interesting take on moms and why moms always feel like they don't have enough time to do the things that they want to do. And I think she means for it to be a take on like why women don't feel like they have enough time to do what they want to do. But the point I'm at in the book, it seems pretty specifically focused to women with children. Okay. So we'll see if it gets broader as it goes on. But that's what I've been reading lately. How about you?
First of all, I cannot believe that you can read like simultaneous books at the same time. I cannot do that. I don't know how women or people in general do that. I just don't. I want to like marathon through every book that I read. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like a serial monogamist. Maybe that's the answer. anyway, I just actually literally finished A Million Little Ways by Emily Freeman. So hilarious that she keeps coming up on this podcast today. It has been on my shelf for like a year and I just haven't dove in. But I did the same thing with Grace for the Good Girl. Like you, Kendra, I was a complete good girl in high school and I like literally did not misbehave and kind of brought that into adult life and it wasn't the best thing for me. So last year I finally read Grace for the Good Girl. I tried to start it years ago and just was like, nope, this is too much right now. I can't do this. It took me a couple years to like get into that book and then finally read it last year and it like wrecked me in all the best ways. And so it's like, okay, I want to read A Million Little Ways, but I can't do another Emily book right now. I'm going to have to give myself some rest time. So I finally did. I finally picked up A Million Little Ways and it was amazing how it's paralleled this podcast. Like this was the perfect time for me to read it. I really, really enjoyed it. I'll be, you know, talking about it on my blog. I think next week I have that scheduled to go. So, which will be in the past when this podcast airs. So it's a really like weird time warp continuum. So that was really good. And today I started a book. I had a doctor's appointment. I had to go to the hospital. Nothing serious. And I started reading The Waiting Room. And I don't like that our doctor's like really fast. I don't get to read long enough in The Waiting Room, which I know is like the opposite of the entire rest of the world. But I got about 6 pages in to a book called Euphoria. A friend gave it to me yesterday, like literally handed it to me at dinner and said, you should read this. And that's all I know about this book. And it's really interesting to go in with that little knowledge. Normally I've like researched a book heavily before I pick it up. So I'll let you know how it goes.
Nice.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one before, but it is interesting how it's, I don't know if it's because of the internet or what, but like I don't Like, I feel like I have so little time to read that I like make sure I'm picking the best possible books.
Absolutely. You
so
vet them before
I don't
you read
go
them.
Into a exactly like I don't go into books just like picked randomly off the shelf anymore. I just like I
Who
need to know everything about them.
Yes, exactly. Who has time for that? So I will report back and let you all know how that one goes. We'll see.
Oh, that would be awesome. Oh. So. Oh. Before we go then, Kendra, would you like to tell people where they can find you on the internet?
Absolutely. Okay, so my website is thelazygeniuscollective.com, and that's where you can find links to the Lazy Sisters podcast. I mean, it's on iTunes, but, you know, you can find it there. I will be starting the Lazy Genius podcast hopefully soon. That's in the works right now. And so that's another place you'll be able to find that. And you can join like my mailing list and I can give you updates on when things are happening and all that. I'm on Twitter at Hi, It's Kendra.
That is where I talk. That's where my most cynical self comes out. That's where my sassiest Kendra comes out is on Twitter. So
Twitter's a good
just
place
preparation.
For it.
And then it is a good place for it. And then I'm on Instagram at the Lazy Genius.
Well, cool. We'll link to everything in the show notes as well so that people can find you really nice and easy because we want them to, you know, focus on the cool things in life, not Googling It's Kendra on the internet to try to find you. So, we will be lazy and genius and put this all in the show notes for everybody. And just thank you so much for spending so much time with us this evening, Kendra. We have so enjoyed it.
No, me too. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Creeps or at Brooks Editorial or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.